This is the News at 5 on WRKC Wilkes-Barre.
Good evening. This is the WRKC News at 5. I'm Program Director Nick Rotundo. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's top story focuses on the recent Ohio State University attack. We'll also hear this week's edition of the Business Beat, listen to an update for this week in Monarch Sports, and get the forecast for the rest of the week. With the recent attack on Ohio State University's campus, News Director Katie Pugh had the chance to speak with some of King's experts on campus law enforcement and safety.
Tragedy struck the nation Monday when ISIS-motivated Abdul Razak Ali Artan allegedly injured 11 in a stabbing attack. Breaking from the all-too-common trend of mass gun violence, the attack has campuses around the nation on edge and evaluating their security protocols to ensure they are equipped to handle violence that is not caused by guns. Acting Director of Campus Security Mark Naylor reviewed emergency notification procedures, which are a critical part in ensuring the safety of bystanders.
Then we have the E2 campus alert system. So we hope all the students, and we make those announcements in the beginning of the year, that sign up for E2 campus. So that's simply somebody, there's several people that are trained to just get on the computer. We already have designated statements. So it's, that's simply logging in and then accessing it and simply clicking on a couple computer screens and send that out, and then it goes out immediately. Then we have a public address system on campus. So with the public address system, anybody could get on a phone, type in a four-digit number, like your phone number, right? And there on top of Holy Cross, there is a public address system. And you can make an announcement, you know, alert, whatever it would be in that situation, to alert everybody that's out on campus to take cover or go to a building where it's safe. And of course, the email system.
Mr. Naylor also stressed the importance of reporting suspicious activity to security as soon as it occurs in order to solve issues before they escalate.
But just to be our eyes and ears, and we tell the students all the time, you have to be our eyes and ears too, because a lot of times you're out on campus and you see something that you need to let us know. Don't let it go by. Let us know immediately. We have 4 or 5 officers at that time, or is there an event and we schedule more officers because there's a larger amount of people on campus. So we always tell the faculty, staff, and students, be our eyes and ears also. We can't always be everywhere, right? Again, report something immediately. Don't let it wait. You know, oh, geez, I waited 4 hours and then something else happened. But you need to let us know so we can take the appropriate steps to make sure that whatever's happening doesn't happen or a worse situation.
Criminal Justice Chair Paul Lindemuth described the general procedures that law enforcement and security follow in the event of active shooters.
When you have an active shooter, or, and that's what it was called in as, the officers responding need to arrive on the scene and set up some type of perimeter so as to contain whatever action is going on so that it doesn't break out beyond those borders. Supervision needs to be there as quickly as possible in order to allocate officers to handle various situations. In this particular case, officers arriving on the scene were able to make contact with the individual. The individual had a knife. I do not know the details of whether or not they told him to put down the knife. But the end result was an officer fearing for the life of others, fearing for his own life or her own life, whoever took the shot, eliminating the individual who was creating this problem.
Mr. Lindemuth discussed a potential tactical issue with campus security.
The only problem, and it's not a problem, the only thing that I would like to see is if we're going to arm security guards on this campus, that they all be armed rather than only a select few. And my stance on that is if you have an unarmed security person that is going to be accidentally put into a position where they're going to be dealing with an active shooter, they're at a distinct disadvantage. And by the time those who are armed can get to them, there could be other injuries. We could lose a security guard, and in doing so, lose their radio, compromising communication.
Finally, Mr. Lindemuth offered his commentary on the use of deadly force in the Ohio State incident.
It would be nice to be able to say, yes, we could have handled this in a far better way, trying to prevent that incident from occurring. Once it occurred, it would be nice to have been able to handle that active individual without having to take that individual's life. But when you're in a situation that is as critical as that, decisions have to be made in milliseconds. And it doesn't allow the individual making that decision the ability to debate and sit there and say, well, if I do this, if I do that, you know, where is my round going when I pull the trigger? All of this stuff we would like to have taken into account, but we can't. So whoever made that shot, they saw a threat, realized that if they didn't take the shot, other people could be injured, and made the decision that I cannot refute on. To me, if I were in that situation, there was a threat. The individual refused to put down the knife, made some type of move towards somebody else or towards myself. I would have pulled the trigger and shot him.
Information pertaining to emergency procedures can be found in the student handbook and in the emergency procedure manual in the security office. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm News Director Katie Pugh.
Coming up next, we'll hear this week's edition of the Business Beat, listen to an update for this week in Monarch Sports, and get the forecast for the rest of the week.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. But when we introduce a new stimulus, save the food, we're helping to stop food waste. Save the food. For tips and recipes, visit savethefood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
I was alone.
This is Jay.
This is John.
This is Shannon.
And this is Pete. We're Feather Merchants, and you're listening to 88.5 FM, WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
The News at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
Hello, this is Joshua Frankevich with your King's Business Beat, the U.S. in review. Economic data supportive of a Fed rate hike in December. Global equities rose this week on continued hopes of growth in the wake of the U.S. presidential election. Strong U.S. economic data suggests the economy is gaining strength even before any additional fiscal stimulus. Volatility, as measured by the Exchange Volatility Index, fell to 12.6 this week from 13.2 a week ago. Oil prices rose in anticipation of a deal to cut production at OPEC's next meeting in Vienna. West Texas intermediate crude rose to $47.50 a barrel from $45.30 a week ago, while global Brent crude rose to $48.50 from $46.40. Yields on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note rose to 2.37% from 2.29% a week ago on a continuation of the post-election confidence. A series of stronger economic data points were released this week, further cementing the case for a rate hike by the U.S. Federal Reserve at its December meeting. Among the week's highlights were strong durable goods orders, up 4.8% in October, a 9.5-year high in existing home sales, and a jump in the Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index. President-elect Donald Trump announced his priorities for his first day in office in a video last week. At the top of the list was a vow to withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a multilateral trade deal. Also on the list are looser restrictions on energy production, reductions in government red tape, enforcement actions against visa overstayers, and a measure that would bar executive branch members from lobbying within 5 years of leaving their jobs. And in other U.S. news, the four major U.S. equity indexes, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the S&P 500 Index, the NASDAQ Composite Index, and the Russell 2000 Index all set record highs last week. The last time all four indexes ended in a record territory was December 31st, 1999. The Global Review. The UK GDP solid post-Brexit. The United Kingdom's economy has yet to show significant ill effects from Brexit. Its economy grew 0.5% in quarter three versus the prior quarter, boosted by net trade in business and consumer spending. The falling pound has been an important stabilizing factor for the UK economy in the wake of the June vote to leave the European Union. Japan prices continue to decline. Japanese core consumer prices fell for the eighth straight month in October, declining 0.4% year over year. The price trend illustrates how difficult it has been for the Bank of Japan to lift the economy out of its deflationary spiral. Turkey forced to raise rates. Turkey's central bank was forced to raise its benchmark one-week interest rate from 0.5% to 8% on Thursday to defend the plunging lira. So far, the rate hike, the first in almost 3 years, has not slowed the currency's decline. And this has been your King's Business Beat with Joshua Frankevich.
This is your sports director, Dan Stokes, with your Monarch Sports Update.
Last Tuesday, the men's basketball team hosted Drew University in the McGrain Gymnasium. The Monarchs defeated Drew 99-80 behind a strong performance from John Fazzini, who scored 18 points. Junior transfer Connor Calais added 17 points, knocking down 5 of 7 three-point attempts. Over the weekend, the Monarchs participated in the Cross County Challenge against the University of Scranton and Marywood University. Connor Calais led the way with 18 points in a Monarch loss to Scranton on Saturday by a score of 79-70. The Monarchs played Marywood University on Sunday. Senior captain Dan Rutecki led the Monarchs with 18 points and 8 rebounds. The game also had a lot of meaning for junior transfer Connor Calais because he played at Marywood for 2 years before joining the Monarchs this season. He added 13 points with 1 steal. The Monarchs edged Marywood 76-73. The Monarchs' record now sits at 4-2 on the season. The Monarchs return to the court next weekend as they host the Monarch Classic. The Lady Monarch basketball team participated in the Cross County Challenge against number 3 in the nation, the University of Scranton, and Marywood University. The Lady Monarchs, coming off a buzzer-beating win against Franklin and Marshall College, were stifled by the University of Scranton. Scranton defeated Kings 89-52. Alexis Stieber, Shea Grimm, and Rebecca Prochak all scored in double digits. The Lady Monarchs lost to Marywood in overtime by 2 points. The final score was 72-70. Olivia Hoffman recorded a double-double with a career-high 18 points and 11 rebounds. Alexis Stieber also scored her career-high with 17 points in the loss. Last night, the Lady Monarchs traveled to Susquehanna University. The Lady Monarchs lost 73-49, extending their losing streak to 3 games. The Lady Monarchs traveled to New Jersey tomorrow to play the Rutgers campus at Camden. The Lady Monarchs' record stands at 1-5 on the season. This has been your Monarch Sports Update for the WRKC News at 5. I'm Sports Director Dan Stokes.
And now the weather. Tonight will be rainy with a low of 45. Tomorrow will be mostly cloudy with a high of 48. And Friday will be mostly cloudy with a high of 47. Both the Christmas fair and Christmas tree lighting on campus will be held on Friday. The fair will take place from noon until 4 p.m. in the campus center, and the tree lighting will take place at 4:15 p.m. in Monarch Court. The Cantoris Christi Regis Choir will also perform their annual Christmas concert this weekend on Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Be sure to stay tuned for Geek Week with Chris and Nick at 6 p.m. This has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm Program Director Nick Rotundo. Have a fantastic week.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio Kings College, Wilkes-Barre.